You're listening to Life Strategies with Monique. Get ready to be empowered and inspired.
Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. If the Lord is good to you, say hallelujah. You know, God has done some awesome things over the last couple of weeks. In my study time and trying to understand what it is he wants us to do, I've heard of many things trying to understand where he wants us to go. But it says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pains of death surround me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. But in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. God says, I didn't come here today for you to stay where you were, nor to be in the place where you think you're supposed to be. But God says that where you are is not where I've called you to be. For the enemy wants you to believe that where you are right now is where you're supposed to stay. But God says, not so. You are not supposed to be where you are. He said, I've sent you a story called Ruth. And in that story, it talks about a girl who was born in the wrong place, at the wrong time maybe. But then I had to move her to a place of destiny and purpose. But it was not where I called her to be. Because if that was where I wanted you to stay, then I would not have created for you an end. He says, I am the beginning and the end. But see, it's the middle part that's so important in our lives. We tend to get to that middle place and say, you know what, that's it. I quit. I give up. I can't go on from here. Father, let us pray. Father, we bless you and we just honor your presence right now, God. And I pray right now, God, that you just move me behind the veil, oh God, so that they can see you, God. God, this is appointed place and time that you placed your people. Teach us how to move forward, God. Teach us how to get out of our stuck place, God. But most importantly, God, teach us how to get in a relationship with you, God. For you are an awesome God. Now, Jesus, have your way, God. For this I ask in your son Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I need you to turn with me to the book of Ruth. Chapter 1 is where I'm going to begin. We know the story. It's a familiar story. We all know the story of Ruth, a daughter born in a place, a lowly place. And we know the story of Naomi, her husband, Elimelech, and her two sons. They go to Moab. But in the midst of that, some tragic things take place. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell. He went to dwell in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons, the name of the man's name was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi, and the names of his sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab. And they remain there to dwell. When I go dwell somewhere, I'm going to live as a resident. I'm going to stay and inhabit this place just for a little while. But sometimes when we tend to dwell in a particular place, we tend to dwell too long, and then we end up remaining a little too long. We get in these places and say, oh, you know what? I'm just going to stay here temporarily. And then that temporary stay turns into a permanent stay. So Elimelech and his wife and two sons go to Moab, a place that they thought was going to be their place of bread, a place that they had just left their bread. But then they decide they're going to go to Moab, a place of garbage, a place of what God calls his wash pot. So they go dwell there, and in the midst of their dwelling, tragedy happens. See, isn't it funny how we tend to go certain places and we say, I'm just going to stay here for a little while. And then we end up being there longer than we intended. Then tragedy strikes. And now we're wondering, why did I stay too long? You know, as a child, I was told, when you dwell too long, you dwell wrong. And I think this is what the family did. They went to the country of Moab and they dwelled a little bit too long. So as a result, now Naomi's left with two sons, and eventually the two sons die. After the two sons die, it's Ruth, Orpah, and Naomi. Excuse me. Now Naomi's lost her husband. Ruth has lost her husband, and so has Orpah. And now they're in a place where they're mourning. You know, the place where you're broken, you're alone, you're without, you don't know how you're going to make it, you don't know how you're going to survive. Now you've got to figure out, how is it I'm going to go on from this place? And so now they decide. Ruth makes a decision at that moment. She says, I'm going to go with Naomi. My topic for you today is the beginning that changed the end. Tell your neighbor, it's not over.
It's not over.
Your beginning can change your end. When I begin, to begin as a starting point in a place, time, or action. To take the first step in actually performing an action. To start. To actually come into your being. So here's Naomi. Here's Ruth. And then there's Orpah. Naomi says, I miss the way. Go back home. Go back where you came from. I can't do anything else for you. I don't have any more sons in my womb. So why don't you go back to your God? Go back home. Orpah kisses Naomi and says, I'm going back. Ruth, on the other hand, says, no. Entreat me not to leave you or turn from you. Because I want to go with you. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I'm going to die. Ruth makes a decision. She says, this is going to be a new starting point for me. I want to start over. Life just hit me in the face. But now I want to start over. Where do I go from here? I've known my God. I know the God of Chemosh, the one that sacrifices. I know that God. I don't want to be a part of that anymore. I want to get to know your God. So what is it that Ruth does that pleases God so much? She begins again. She doesn't quit. She rises above her circumstance. Your first point this morning is rise above your circumstance. You got to learn how to rise above your circumstances in your life, because your circumstances are just that. Your circumstances says, I can't move forward. I base everything that I do on where I am. I base everything that I do on what I physically can see because of my circumstances. I don't want to let God come in my life and be the Holy Spirit that he said I could have. I allow my circumstances to dictate my future. But Ruth says, no. I've been there, done that. I know that God. I want to get to know a new God. See, you can't make me stay in this place anymore. A wash pot, garbage, rubbish, nonsensical, worthless trash. I don't want to stay there anymore. So Ruth makes a move. Ruth lost her husband. She's a widow. She's all alone now. She's lost everything. Anybody ever been there where you done lost everything? You feel like the world has just hit you in your face, and now you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know how you're going to make it. You don't know how you're going to survive. But all you have to do is begin. Beginning, my start. Meaning, I'm ready to take a step. Ruth said, I'm ready to come into my being. I'm ready to find out who I truly am in God. At this moment, Ruth has what we call a time of conversion. Because when I convert, that means I've changed. When I've changed, that means I have transformed. Come on, somebody. When you change, that means you transform. Ruth said, I knew that God. That God wasn't working for me.
All right.
I see those drugs you're taking. Them ain't working for me no more. That ain't working for me no more. Oh, I've been in adultery. That ain't working no more. I've had that job before. Oh, I want something new. Been there, done that. Oh, I've made it $10 an hour. Oh, now it's time for 20. Been there, done that. It's time for something new. But instead of you starting, converting, changing, becoming something new, transforming, you've got to change. There's a quote that says, a man has to learn the plague of his own heart before he can change. Meaning, you got to figure out what your own problem is. Your own problem. You got to learn what your own problem is before you can be changed. But why is it we don't want to change? What is getting in our way? Oh, I remember now. Fear. I'm going to stay right here because I'm scared. Fear is keeping me from my beginning. I'm afraid God is going to remember my past. I'm afraid he's going to look at everything I've done and say, you know what? You're not worthy of going anywhere. Hurt. Oh, you're hurting. You're hurting so bad you don't even want to go. You're hurting inside. Heartache, you don't want to deal with that. So you don't want to move. Shame. Oh, yeah, that's the kicker there, shame. We don't want to move because of that shame. We want to hide sometimes. Don't want nobody to know what we're going through. You know, if I start over, people are going to talk. I don't want nobody talking about me. Come on, somebody. Fear, hurt, shame. Oh, let's get a little bit deeper. Your attitude. Your attitude. See, you can't move because your attitude ain't right. Then your beliefs get in your way. Come on, what your belief system is. See, with these little things that get in our way, our belief systems, your expectations, your commitments. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that. Oh, yeah, it's getting in your way, all right, because you can't begin anew. You can't move because you let all these little things get in your way. But Ruth shows us at that very moment, she has a time of conversion. which means I began. Point number two, walk out your faith. So we done rose above our circumstances. Now you got to walk out your faith. What does Ruth do? Chapter 2, verse 1. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, and of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I might find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. After she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family Elimelech. The moment Ruth gets to Bethlehem, she doesn't sit down, but she immediately asks Naomi, can I go to the fields and glean in somebody's sight that she might find favor? She didn't know whether she was going to find favor or not, but on her newfound faith, she said, can I go? See, Ruth took what you call initiative. Some of y'all don't like that word, initiative. Because initiative says that means I got to get up and I got to do something without somebody asking me to do it. Initiative. You got a job description, and that job description has about 20 things on it. And if it ain't on your job description, you say, I ain't doing that. Initiative. See, you're blocking your blessings because you don't want to take the initiative to step out of your comfort zone and say, God, use me. God, I'm stepping out on faith to say, you know what? I might find favor. Because that extra thing that you do just might get you what you really desire to have. But see, you got to take initiative. So Ruth says, I'm not waiting. See, I knew Chemosh. He wanted sacrifices. He wanted blood. But see, I want to find out who this new God is. So I'm going to walk out my faith. Point number three. Follow instructions. That is so simple. Follow instructions. Instructions are authoritative directions to be obeyed. Authoritative directions to be obeyed. Information on how to do something. Let's go to chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. Follow instructions. Just that simple. Following instructions. When Naomi comes in Ruth's presence, Ruth shows her all the grain that she's gotten. She's gleaned in the fields. And so Ruth now says, I've gotten all these things. And Naomi turns to her and says, do you really want me to help you? Do you want me to truly, truly show you how you can get in a closer relationship with Christ? Do you really want me to show you that? If you want to know what to do, then I need you to follow my instructions. She said, wash yourself. See, Ruth was used to being in garbage. And some of you used to being in a little garbage too, always in places you ain't got no business. You know, a place where you know it's not clean. No, you ain't supposed to be there. So she had to wash herself first. See, she was used to the filth. She was used to all of that. But she said, wash, lava, bathe. Get away. Purify yourself. Get rid of those things that don't need to be a part of you. Wash yourself. Then she says, anoint yourself. I remember in the story of Esther. Esther anointed herself for about a year. What was the purpose for her anointing herself for an entire year? So that she could go before the king. See, you can't go to the king any kind of way. You can't just go to God any kind of way. You got to wash yourself. Then you need to anoint yourself. Anoint yourself. Meaning when you've peeled away all those nasty things out of your life, when you peel those things away from you, then you might be able to come into his presence. But now you've gotten rid of your flesh. And now you put on your spirit and you anoint yourself, because spirit and flesh can't go together in the presence of God. You're either going to be in your spirit or you're going to be in your flesh. So she said, wash yourself, anoint yourself. Then she says, put on your raiment. And that simply means put on your robe of righteousness. Your pathway now has to be straight. If you read the story, it would tell you that Ruth stayed holy the entire time. She didn't go there looking for men. She didn't go in there trying to find other things outside of God. She had tunnel vision. She was on a mission. And some of you could have tunnel vision, but every time you get on your highway becomes divided. And now you're either going left or you're going right. You don't know which way you want to go. You can't make up your mind. Am I going left? Am I going right? But then you get stuck. Everybody's on the highway, and you are in the middle. Here you are. But while you're in the middle, your car's in neutral. And so everybody around you is passing you by because you in neutral. Because of what? Oh, my fear. My shame, my hurts. I can't move because I'm allowing these things to get in my way. See, you fail to realize that fear, hurt, shame, those things are part of your tunnel vision. Those are things that get in the way of you becoming what God desires you to be. See, you got to get some of those things out of your way so that you can get back on the path that God desires you to be on. But see, you got to get back on the highway. Get back, anoint yourself. And then the last thing she tells her, she says, thresh. He's going to be at the floor tonight, so I need you to thresh. Threshing was a two-step process. Threshing was a process during the harvest season. They would do grain. And they would take a threshing sledge. And what they would do is that grain would be all on the ground at the threshing floor. And then they would take that threshing sledge and pull it across with an oxen. Metaphorically, everything that's placed on this threshing floor is everything about you. Because when you winnow simply means separate the good from the bad, the true from the false. So when you go to the threshing floor, you are now allowing God to see every little thing about you that needs to be pricked out of your life. But you don't want to go to the threshing floor. Oh my God. The threshing floor, a place where he can separate and make you anew. See, the threshing floor was symbolic of marriage. So when Ruth gets down to the floor, she uncovers his feet and she's proposing marriage. Are you proposing marriage for Christ? Can you get to the threshing floor? Can you get to the threshing floor? God is challenging you right now today to get to the threshing floor. But what is it? Fear? Hurt? Shame? What's keeping you from the very place that you can marry Christ? See, you're in a place right now that God says, I can winnow some things out of your life if you're willing to get up and thresh. Can you get up and thresh? That means right where you are, the seat that you're sitting in is where you need to be threshing. That means I'm not going to let the people around me scare me into not getting down on my knees and threshing at the floor. Because I've got problems. I've got troubles. I've got struggles in my life. And this is the place where I can get rid of these things. This is where I can become new. Because scripture says, arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion. Arise and thresh, for I will make your horns strong. And I will make your hooves bronze. So you mean to tell me when I get to this floor, he's going to make my mind strong? He's going to make my feet capable of doing what needs to be done in my life? If I can just get to the threshing floor? See, a real lover of Christ goes to the threshing floor. And this is not a 5-minute process. God, I need this. God, I need that. No, God, change me. Transform me. Make me what I need to be, God. Move things out of me, God. Transform me. Make me anew at this threshing floor. God, marry me. For I want to be a new creature in Christ. I challenge you to come to a place where you can thresh your knees right where you are. If you trust in God enough, I would say to you right now, at this moment and this very time, that you get on your knees and you thresh for God. Thresh for God. You're not worrying about who's around you. You're not worrying about who's looking next to you. God says, I need my people to thresh. I want you to truly, truly marry me. Marry me. I took Ruth from garbage and I moved her to a new place. So why was this threshing floor so important? Because it's the middle. This is the place that I don't want to leave. This is the place where I don't want to go forward. See, the middle, every story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. See, the beginning, I woke up and said, I'm tired. I don't want to experience this day. I've had enough. I can't do it anymore. I'm sick. You don't want to experience the day. But when you finally get up and you get to the middle, now you want to quit. All you got to do is get to the end. You're in the middle. The middle says there are two extremes between the beginning and the end. If I'm not mistaken, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. Sin came. In the middle, after sin, he said, well, I need to change some things around because my people have sinned. So, what makes you think I can't recreate your beginning? Because at this place right here, I sent my son to die for you on the cross. You don't seem to understand that in the middle, when hell broke loose with sin, I sent my son in the middle. See, I created the beginning, I created the end, but I changed the middle. See, your middle is your climax. It's your turning point. You can change your end simply by getting up and acknowledging who Christ is. Come to a place of threshing. Come to a place of becoming anew. And then your last point says, arrive at your destination. you can arrive at your destination. That means get to your purpose and your destiny. You were not supposed to stay here. Matter of fact, you weren't even supposed to get stuck right here. This is a standstill. You're not supposed to be stuck right here. He says, I need you to arrive at the destination. Ruth was born in Moab. She was born in garbage. But he had to change her beginning. He said, I had to destroy her right here. I had to destroy her. I had to put her in a place. She lost everything. So she thought she lost everything. But what she thought was an ending was the beginning that I desired to get her to the expected end. So it doesn't matter what has happened. Whatever you thought was your end is probably your beginning. To get God, to get what God wants in the end out of you, your expected end. Your end says the point in time when an action, an event, or a phenomenon ceases. Something toward which one strives. That's a goal. That's your end. What is it that you're trying to get to? It's your conclusion, your outcome. To arrive at a place, situation, or condition as a result of my course of action. What did I do? What did I do to get to my expected end? Did I stay here? Because if I stay here, then I can't get to my expected end. See, God is asking each and every one of you to start somewhere. But don't start and then get stuck and think this is where I truly desire you to be. He says, no, this is not where I want you to be. I've created the beginning. I've created the end. I just need you to get out of this place. I need you to get from being unstuck and get to your expected end. See, today is April 19th. I never forget this day because this is the day that my then husband went to prison. April 19th, never forget the day. The day I thought my whole world ended, thought life was over. What I thought was my beginning, or I thought was my end, was actually my beginning. So you can't look at your circumstances and say, this is it for me, because this is not it for you. Your circumstances is what's supposed to push you to your expected end. You got to get out of being stuck, because God says, I have something purposeful for you in your life. He says, in the beginning, God created. But it's just the middle that God changed. He said, I got to break you, to make you, to create in you what I desire for you. Your beginning can change your end. It's not over. Amen, it's not over. Amen.
You've been listening to Life Strategies with Monique.